was probably about 26, 27 years ago, somewhere around. When we were about to graduate from high school, I used to have three friends, so four of us were hanging out most of the time, very close friends. We decided to go to mountain hiking, kind of to have some good memory and also to celebrate our friendship. So we decided to go to this very famous mountain in the province, which is quite tall and very famous with the beauty. And four of us went to there, and back in the days, you know, we don't have cars or anything like that, so we, you know, the public transportation, buses and all that. When we get there, we're standing kind of in front of right at the, even not in the gate, like right after the big parking lot as you are entering into that perimeter of that huge national park. They have those maps and directions and signs. And it shows there are two paths to go to the top of the mountain. And immediately, I liked one better than the other, simply because it says, this will take the shortest time. Why not? My goal is to get to the mountain, right? So I'll choose that. I totally cried out. Friend of mine says, no, I like this better. Why? That show that says that it'll take the most time, but it'll take you to the most spot that is worth seeing it. So we're arguing now that I'm saying, hey, we're here to get to the top. Let's go, let's just spend the least time on the way, get to the top, and enjoy the beauty, and come down and have fun. And he's saying, no, we're here to enjoy the mountain. So see, I wasn't like this back in the days, as you can see. So we actually split in half. So two of them went that way, two of us went the other way. Of course, we got to the top about 2 hours prior to they arrived. And as they were arriving, we came down. But after we came down, we have to wait for them now. Why? Because we came all together, right? Somehow it felt kind of right to go back together too. Kind of like really summarizing the story. And as they came down, it was already quite getting dark and it was dinner time. So we decided, you know what? We're hungry. Let's go eat. And even after ordering the food, we're still, you know, myself and the other friend were arguing about whose choice was the best way. I was insisting that, you know, it was most effective and efficient way to get to the top. And I enjoyed the mountaintop view the most. We were there 2 hours and enjoying everything from that top. And the other friends were saying, I saw the most side of the mountain and coming up. And the quiet one, who was quiet probably all the way, he was simply saying, who cares about mountain? We came here because we like to be together. And that really solved the whole argument. I mean, to our heart, truly, I agreed with him. Who cares about the mountain? Or who cares about which way is the better way? Yes, we went there because we wanted to be together and spend time together because we liked each other. Why do we like each other? We don't know. We're friends. And somehow we're together. It was fun, whatever we do. So somehow, kind of, you know, these things make us to forget. And I shared a little bit about it on the Christmas Eve, but details sometimes help us, but sometimes makes us to fight. But these details that we fight about usually kind of has attachment, saying, this is my detail. You know, it's right because it's my detail. And that's not right because it's your detail. Somehow, and then we forget what's really important here. You know, this is end of the year. 2015 is going away. And quite surprising, isn't it? I've been reflecting upon kind of my life last 2 weeks or even whole months of December. And over again, I'm quite surprised and shocked in a very good way. Because 15 years ago, I didn't believe that I'll be married and have kids. And 25 years ago, I didn't believe that I'll become a minister or I'll be doing this kind of work that is actually helping people. That was not in my mind at all. Matter of fact, 30 years ago, I didn't believe that I'll make it up to 45. Looking back further and further, I see this little child who had nothing and who expected nothing of the world. And compare to this day and look at what I have. I'm like, wow, I got everything I need. Yes, maybe I could use a little more of that, a little more of this, a little more of that. But if it goes into the satisfying my heart and fulfilling me, I got all I need. And I'm really very truthful about it and very thankful about it too. Not about like how much successes I have or how many failures I have. Sometimes we get lost in counting those things. Oh, wow, I did those so well. Oh, my, I so messed up. But that's not really what's about living. You're here at this moment, and you're still alive. Most of you are relatively healthy or better than healthy. You have somebody whom you can love and somebody who loves you. That's a good thing. You have, I think most of you are, basics are covered, right? You didn't have food to eat yesterday. Did you starve? Anybody starve Christmas Eve? Not in here, probably. You had place to sleep. I mean, sometimes we forget in living life, adding things, getting more comfortable things, fancier things, going to fancier places will make our heart more joyful. But the truth is, actually not. So, these songs today you read, amazing songs. I call that as songs of spiritual joy. When your heart is filled with this joy that doesn't really relate to any material success. If you really look into the heart of it, this is about experiencing divine, or more specifically, experiencing that God really cares about you. This big power, the Creator, cares about you and will do something for you. And not just a story you read in the Bible, but it's not just a concept. You really, truly experience it. You feel that in your life. That really lifts you up. But how would you see that if your mind is already filled with something else? I'd like to conclude today's message was a very simple Zen story that I love. This I shared with you a few times. One of the most renowned scholars in the nation wanted to learn about Zen. So he, of course, searched and found the most renowned Zen master in the country. So he visited Zen master. And the scholar was asking, "Master, I would love to know more about Zen. Would you mind teaching me?" And the Zen master was saying, "Would you like to have a cup of tea?" So said, you know, it's called. I said, sure, I'll have a cup of tea. So the tea set's prepared and cup, you know, on each side. The Zen master's pouring the, you know, tea for the scholar. And as soon, you know, it is getting filled and now it's overflowing. And some of the Zen masters kept pouring. The scholar is saying, Master, Master, it's full and it's overflowing. Why would you do that? And Zen master looked at him and saying, well, this is your mind. How can I teach you? I think it applies to many things. Emptying our mind is not about making it absent or not caring. You're fully caring. You have everything within it. You're emptying ego in our context. Or me first. Or me, you know that expression. If that side goes out, your heart, that in that emptiness, God comes in and fills in and make it joyful. So may God bless you all in this at the end of the year, and also make your heart and minds wise in planning the next year. Amen.